We are in the midst of a section of the Gospel of Mark that contains two of the most well-known miracles of Jesus. One of those we looked at last week was commonly known as the feeding of the 5,000. But as we saw last week, that's not real accurate. It was likely a lot more than 5,000. That was just the number of men in the crowd. If women and children had been counted, it would have probably been closer to somewhere around maybe 15,000. Some say even more than that. And Jesus fed that crowd miraculously from one little boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. As we talked about last week, not 5 loaves and 2 fish, but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not that that makes a lot of difference, because when you're talking about feeding 15,000 people or more, even 5 loaves and 2 fish would be an amazing miracle. If that in itself is not amazing enough, remember that we saw Jesus made exactly enough for everyone in that crowd to eat until they were stuffed. And then when the leftovers from that were picked up, it was exactly 12 baskets full. Now here again, think lunch baskets, not laundry baskets. But one basket full of food for each of the 12 hungry disciples. And that's amazing to think that Jesus knew exactly how much to make. Let's add another level of amazing to that by considering why that miracle happened. Why did Jesus do that? Now Jesus, we saw last week, he wanted his disciples to get some rest. After they just returned from a very difficult, a draining and tiring time of ministry, they had been sent out for the first time to preach on their own without Jesus with them. To preach about the kingdom, to preach about the need for repentance. They were casting out demons, they were healing the sick. And remember, Jesus had been preparing them. One of the things he was preparing them for was rejection. You're going to go out, you're going to proclaim the truth about me, and you're going to be rejected. Now they're back. They've been out for several weeks, a couple months, they're back. And Jesus took them across the Sea of Galilee, what was supposed to be a secluded place. But there was this huge crowd of people who were tracking Jesus. As he and his disciples were going across the sea, they were watching. They actually got to where Jesus was going before Jesus did. In verse 34 of Mark chapter 6, it says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw the large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Well, this is a part of the reason why Jesus did this miracle. Why he fed the 5,000 plus people. He gave them spiritual food. He gave them physical food because they were people in need. And the ones who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel did not care. They cared about themselves, making sure they were taken care of. They did not care for the sheep of Israel. Jesus did. And this miraculous feeding shows that grace in how much Jesus Christ cares for his sheep. Now, I said it's amazing to consider why this miracle happened. What amazes me about this is that's only part of the reason. It's a small part when you think of all of the reasons why Jesus did this. There might be other examples when this is more amazing, but this is an example of how wise and how capable God is. That when God does something, there can be multiple reasons, and multiple effects. Things happening that we don't even know about. And every part of what God does is working toward carrying out. Hey, we're going to have to make a change here, Henry. Turn this one off and go back to number one. Got a story about that, but I won't bore you with it right now. Okay. When Jesus does anything, everything he does, it all works toward his perfect plan. Every part of it. Another layer of why Jesus did this miracle was that it was fulfilling prophecy. We looked at that some in Ezekiel. We'll get it set here eventually. Down just a little bit more. Okay, we'll try that. In the Gospel of John, we don't have time to go into that this morning, but in John chapter 6, we're going to be talking about ghosts in this passage this morning. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, keep turning dials there, Henry. We'll get it. In John chapter 6, Jesus uses this feeding of the 5,000 to teach about himself being the bread of life. To use that as an example of how Moses fed the Israelites in the wilderness with the manna, and something even greater than that is here. Jesus is the bread of life. Another layer of why Jesus performed this miracle was for the benefit of the disciples. He had something very important to teach the disciples from the feeding of these thousands of people. Now we've been talking about this in past weeks, about Jesus preparing his disciples to be sent out. According to Matthew's account, Jesus warned them that he was sending them out as sheep among wolves. So it was very important. Very important, especially considering how much worse things were going to get for them as their ministries continue on. They needed to know that they have a shepherd who cares for them. They have a shepherd who knows exactly what they need. And a shepherd who has the power and the resources to supply them with everything they need to live the lives that God has called them to live. And we too need to know. If you have trusted in Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a shepherd who cares about your needs. I know a lot of people are having growing concerns about finances lately. We've had a lot of prayer requests about health concerns. We have a shepherd who cares about your needs. We have a shepherd who knows exactly what we need. And we have a shepherd who has all the power and resources to do whatever he wants to do. Did the disciples get that message? That's what this was intended to teach them. Did they get the message? Well, that's going to be tested in the verses we're looking at this morning. And it's in connection with the second of those most well-known miracles, when Jesus walks on water. Where we stopped last Sunday after verse 44 of Mark 6. We're somewhere near the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. It was evening. Everyone had been fed. The disciples finally got their supper. What comes next sounds a little strange. You look at verse 45 of Mark 6. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. Now, Mark uses this word immediately a lot. I just did a quick count, and I think I counted 40 times that Mark uses that word immediately. Now, sometimes this is just an indicator that Mark is going to quickly move from one account of Jesus' ministry to another, but this time, this event has some urgency. There was something Jesus wanted his disciples to do immediately. There's something had changed about the scene that we were looking at last week that made Jesus make his disciples get into the boat and go. Now, if he had to make them go, that means they didn't want to go. Kind of reminded me of getting our kids to bed every night. They never want to go. We have to make them go. The disciples had to be made to get on that boat. Now, it could be that they saw a storm moving in. They've been there before. They don't want to do that again. Could be that. But there was something else. Something else besides that. The Gospel of John gives us just a little more detail here about what was happening. In John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says this. John 6, verse 14. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, meaning the making the food out of that little boy's lunch, feeding those thousands of people, when they saw the sign which Jesus had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, think about this scene there that evening. This was a large crowd. 15,000 people, maybe more. They had just seen something amazing. Jesus started out with one little boy's lunch and fed them all until they were stuffed. If anyone could be the Messiah that they were hoping for, this must be him. Now remember the Messiah they were hoping for. Someone to come and free them from Roman rule. Jesus could do that. If he can heal the sick and raise the dead and give us free food, who would be better qualified? And there were enough of them, thousands and thousands of people, kind of a mob mentality, that they thought, we could make this happen. We could get this started right here today. We can make Jesus our king. Now think about the disciples. They were there seeing this. They would have thought that would have sounded really good. So far, the disciples have been looking at everything on the human level. There was a problem that getting that late afternoon, lack of food. There was no place that they could get food around there. They looked at it from the human level. An earthly kingdom right now with Jesus as the king and them being his best friends, that sounded great. They would have jumped all over that idea. But this was not Jesus' plan at all. So to stop this, Jesus made his disciples get on the boat and go. Somehow, the authority that only Jesus has, he made the crowd go also. They did not accomplish what they thought they might. According to verse 46 of Mark chapter 6, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. So we see Jesus once again. He went to pray. Now certainly, he prayed for this crowd of people who he just sent away. This crowd who he knew was only interested in temporary earthly things. He prayed for them. They needed a savior. That's not what they were interested in. He prayed for the disciples, we can be sure, because they were about to be tested to see if they had learned anything, if their thinking was changing about Jesus and their relation to him. And Jesus probably prayed for himself. This was this evening another temptation. A temptation to get to the throne and avoid the cross. Remember, the Bible tells us the goal of all things is that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Satan has brought some temptations like this before that I could give you that now and you could avoid the cross. This crowd wanted to give Jesus the throne before he got to the cross. That's not why Jesus came. So we prayed. Well, verse 47 takes us back to the boat. Verse 47 says, when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Now, there's a slight problem there in that little detail. They shouldn't have been in the middle of the sea. Where they had been, you picture a map right here in front of me, and try to do this backwards, north, east corner. They were in the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. Where they were going was kind of just across the tip of the Sea of Galilee to the west. Okay, thinking that right. Yes, they're going west. Northwest corner is where they were supposed to end up. So how did they get in the middle of the sea? That was a problem. If you look at the first part of verse 48, this is speaking of Jesus, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. Now this seeing them, this was a supernatural seeing them, because it was dark and they were way out there in the sea, but Jesus saw them. Jesus could see what they were doing on the boat. What they were doing on that boat was rowing really hard with all their might, but not getting anywhere. Why? Why was that? Another storm. Another storm at sea. It's happening again. They've been there before. It actually might have been just about that same location on the Sea of Galilee when there was that equivalent of a hurricane came rushing down on them. Their boat was filling with water. It was about to sink. And Jesus was asleep in that boat. That time, it looked hopeless. The disciples were sure that they were going to drown, but they woke Jesus up and he saved them. He rebuked the wind, the waves, and it all stopped and was immediately calm. This time, it doesn't sound like the storm was quite as bad, but Jesus wasn't there this time. They were going the wrong way because the wind was pushing them. At night, in the dark, the wind, the waves, it may have still been a struggle to keep the water out of the boat. They were maybe still in danger, again, this time of sinking. It was a scary situation to be in. And this is a part of Jesus training them. Because a day was coming, not too distant future, when Jesus would not be there physically and visibly anymore. So would the disciples be able to trust Jesus even from a distance? Would they be able to trust Jesus without him visibly being with them in the boat? Now keep in mind, this is a test. They were in a difficult situation, and it was exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. They were not in this difficult spot because of disobedience. They were right in the middle of God's will for them. Jesus made them get on the boat and told them where to go. And this storm came and blew them out to sea. Even though they were in the middle of God's will, they were not experiencing peace and tranquility. Life had gotten really hard. They're rowing with all their might. The wind is pushing them in the other direction. You ever feel that way? Have you ever been there? Does it ever seem like you're doing everything you know how to do to get things going in the right direction, but the wind and the current, everything just seems to be working against you, pushing you the wrong way? Has it ever happened to you? I think we've probably all been there. Maybe it's a ministry. You've tried to get going in the right direction. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a business. And in all these things, you want to please the Lord. You want to do what is right. You want to do His will. But you, like these disciples, though you're rowing with all your might, the wind is pushing you the other direction. Sometimes in our lives, it might seem like we keep coming back to the same problems over and over. We keep thinking we're making some progress, and we keep getting pushed back in these same problems over and over and over. Maybe that's a test. Maybe that's right where God wants you to be. He's testing you. Can you trust Him? Now we're going to see how the disciples did with the test. You look at verse 48 again. It says it's about the fourth watch of the night. That means that we are now somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. This has been going on for hours. The disciples have been rowing with all their might, and they keep getting further away from where they were initially headed. The rest of verse 48 says, He came to them walking on the sea, and He intended to pass by them. Now, the way this is understated, you could almost just read past that and keep on going and not notice, but hopefully your attention was caught. Wait, what? He came to them walking on the sea? That's not natural. We were at a swim meet yesterday morning. All of those kids were splashing and flailing, trying to get across that pool as fast as they could. But I noticed, and I paid attention because I was working on this sermon, not a single one of them got up and ran across the pool. Now, that would have been the fastest way across if they could have done it. Had they tried, they would have sunk. And they would have lost. Because they can't. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. That is amazing. Now, there's a few verses I would like to show you in the Old Testament that help us to get a little clearer picture of what's happening here. In the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 8, we read this. Job 9, 8. This is Job speaking, and he is responding to God, and he says, "Who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea." Now Job is saying that this is something that only God can do. Nobody else can do this. Where mine says, "He alone tramples down the sea, or the waves of the sea." Other translations say, "He treads on the waves of the sea." Only God. Only God. He is the only one who can walk on water. In verse 11 of Job 9, it says, "Were he to pass by me, I would not see him. Were he to move past me, I would not perceive him." Now that is almost always the case. God does what God does, and we don't see him doing it. Almost always what God does, he does behind the scenes. He's working out his plan, doing what he does, without us seeing him doing it. But in this case, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus was giving his disciples a very unique opportunity. Remember, only God can walk on water. And Jesus was intending to pass by them. Mark 6:48. While he was walking on the water, so they would have an opportunity to see God in a way that no one has ever seen him before. God can walk on water, but Job says, if he did, I wouldn't see it. These disciples are going to have an opportunity to see it. Jesus can walk on water. Jesus is God. The disciples are going to have an opportunity to see that. And we could also consider Moses' request in Exodus chapter 33, when he asked God, show me your glory. You remember God's response? I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand. My glory will pass by. I'll remove my hand and you'll see the afterglow of my glory. Because that's all you could handle and not die. God's glory passed by him. Same kind of language is used in 1 Kings 19:11 when God passed by Elijah. His glory passed by. Moses, Elijah got a better understanding of who God is just by his passing by. Now the disciples in that boat on the Sea of Galilee, after they had seen all that they have seen, just think about what they've seen. Jesus, he's healed the sick. Many, many sick people, he's healed them. He gave them, the disciples, the authority, the ability to heal the sick. He's cast out demons. He gave them, the disciples, the ability to cast out demons. They knew they couldn't do that. It was Jesus' power that they did it through. Jesus has raised the dead. He's calmed the storm and the waves. He has just a few hours ago created food to feed thousands of people from one little boy's lunch. And now he's walking on water. So how much should it take for the disciples to have faith that Jesus really is fully capable of taking care of them in this difficult spot that they're in without Jesus in the boat? How much should it take, considering all they've seen? How much should it take? Well, Jesus should be able to just walk past them when he's walking on the water. And they should all be able to say, first, wow. It's the first thing you'd have to see if you see somebody walking on the water. Wow. But then they should be able to say, oh yeah, Jesus is God. Jesus is sovereign over his creation, so he can handle this. This problem that I'm in right now, he can handle it. So I'm going to trust him to work out this situation according to his will, and I'm not going to worry about it. That could have been accomplished just by Jesus walking past them. Is that how it turned out? Well, look ahead, look on verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Now, seeing someone walking on top of the water is unique. You've never seen it before. I've never seen it before. So it's not surprising that the disciples didn't expect this to happen. They weren't looking at their sundials in the dark, which they couldn't see anyway, but thinking, oh, when is Jesus going to come walking out here? They weren't expecting it. They'd never seen it before. It's understandable that they weren't expecting it. But again, think about what they had just seen Jesus do just a couple hours ago. They saw him coming toward them, walking on the water. And they know what he can do, feeding those thousands of people. What should their first thought have been? If they were in a hard situation, what should have instantly come to mind as a solution to their problem? Now, I'm not saying that I would have either if I was on that boat, but they should have been thinking in that situation, for this we have Jesus. That should be our response in every situation. For this situation, whatever it is, we have Jesus. When they saw someone walking toward them on the water in that storm, considering what they had just seen Jesus do, they should have said, yes, of course, Jesus is God, and he would be walking on the water because he is that amazing. And he can do with this situation whatever he wants. That was not their response. When it was getting late, They had recognized that problem of not having food out there in the middle of nowhere, all these thousands of people. How were they looking at that problem? Just to the human level. Based on their abilities, their resources, this was a situation that was humanly impossible. We can't feed all these people, send them away. It's the same thing here. Their minds can't get above the top of their heads. They're looking at this situation not in the terms of who Jesus is, what God can do, but just as human observers. They're thinking of this as mere men. And so the first thought that comes to their mind is, oh no, it must be a ghost. And they cried out. Now that could also be accurately translated, and they screamed like little girls. That's what they did on that boat. Even after they had just seen Jesus feed thousands of people miraculously, their first thought was, oh, it must be a ghost. Why? Why was their first thought Scooby-Doo instead of Jesus? Why was it? I don't know. I don't know, but why do we do the same thing? God has proven his faithfulness to us in so many ways. He's brought all of us through trials and troubles. We've all been there. We've all been in hard times. God has seen us through. His mercies have been new every morning. Every morning that you've woken up, God has continued to give you the necessities to keep you alive so far. He's been faithful. He's given us the Savior to pay for our sins on the cross. He's shown us the Holy Spirit, our sin, our need for salvation. He's saved us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. He's been so good to us. And the very next time we come to a bump in the road, life gets hard, just a little difficulty comes up, a little uncertainty, how many times has our response been, this is the end. All hope is lost. Just like the disciples. Why is that? After all Jesus has done for us, why is our first response not, for this we have Jesus? Why is it not, of course, our Lord will do whatever is necessary, even walk on water, to accomplish his perfect will for our lives? Why don't we respond that way? That should be our response every time. It should have been for these disciples. Let's look at the rest of verse 50. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage. It is I. And when he says, it is I, that's a form of saying, I am. Think about what they're seeing, Jesus walking on water. His response, I am. Only God can walk on water. Who is Jesus? He is the I am. Do not be afraid. I am. Do not be afraid. Let's go on through verse 52. They got into the boat with him, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished. And notice this, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. This was a test. Jesus sent them out on that boat as a test to see what they had learned from that last miracle, and they failed the test. They had not learned anything. Their hearts were still hard. They were still looking at everything from just the human perspective. And up to that point, they failed to make the connection who Jesus is and how that relates to their everyday lives. They failed to come to the conclusion, for this we have Jesus. We so often do the same. They failed the test. Was Jesus mad? Well, no. He continued to show grace. He showed patience, and he comforted his disciples. Do not be afraid. just like he so often does with us. Jesus wasn't mad, but the test results were not good. They show that the disciples were in some need of more learning. It's time to go back to school. And for those of you who are enjoying summer break, I hope I didn't ruin it by saying back to school. That's a sad word during this time of year. The disciples needed to go back to school. Now, they had had some time of independence. Jesus sent them out. It wasn't a vacation, but they were working hard at serving the Lord. They weren't ready for more of that. They need more learning. Verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Now, by this time, it was still very early in the morning, probably just barely light. And when Jesus had gotten into the boat in the middle of the sea, the storm stopped suddenly. John tells us that the boat was then suddenly on the western shore. It was a miracle. Another miracle. As soon as they got off the boat, there were people around there on the shore. They immediately knew who Jesus was. Now that was probably kind of embarrassing for the disciples, since they didn't recognize Jesus just a little bit ago. All these people, they recognized Jesus. Why didn't we? They should have been embarrassed. The people who saw Jesus, they set about doing what they always do now when they see Jesus because of what they know he can do. Verse 55, and ran about that whole country and began to carry here and there, entering or on their pallets, those who were sick to the place they heard he was. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were being cured. Now remember, disciples of Jesus, if that is you, if you are a disciple of Jesus, remember, he is sovereign over nature. He can create food. He can walk on water. He is sovereign over sickness. He goes around healing people. He is sovereign over all of our problems. Only God can walk on water. Jesus, your Savior, can walk on water. And we, as those disciples, may have been sent as sheep among wolves. But remember who our shepherd is. We have a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. We have a shepherd who is the creator and owner of this universe. A shepherd who is all of those things, and he loves you. So our first response in everything really should be, for this, we have Jesus. And that is enough. In this situation, whatever suffering you're going through, however hard times may get, for this, we have Jesus. We have a shepherd to lead us, to provide for us, and he is enough.